Now, number 121. Psalm 121. This is God's word to us this evening in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I call your attention tonight to verse 4 of Psalm 121. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather for worship on the last night of the year, we do so in order to reflect back upon the year that was 2018. And when you reflect back upon the year that was, you can do so from many different points of view. And tonight what we want to do is reflect back on 2018 in light of the questions, what was God doing? And what was God not doing? Our text, Psalm 121, verse 4, gives us particular answers to those two questions. What was God not doing in 2018? He was not sleeping. What was God, in fact, doing in 2018? He was keeping Israel. It's the beautiful truth that we consider from Psalm 121, a psalm, generally speaking, that is appropriate to consider on a night like tonight, an old year's night. Psalm 121 is a psalm that's a very meaningful psalm to many of God's people today. It was especially important in the life of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Three times a year, the Israelites were required by God to make the journey from their homes to Jerusalem and up Mount Zion to the temple in order to celebrate the main feasts in the Old Testament calendar. And this is a song of degrees. This is one of many psalms that as they made their journey from their homes and as they got close to Mount Zion and as they made their way up Mount Zion, they would take upon their lips the words of this psalm. And that's why the content of the psalm is especially fitting in light of what they were actually doing. They were making a journey from their homes eventually that led them up to Mount Zion, up to where God dwelt in the temple. And as they were making that journey in language couched in that of making a journey, they would confess in Psalm 121 this great truth that God would keep them as they made that journey. Old years and new years is a time in which we reflect upon the journeys we make. And all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are on that path that is leading up. That path that is leading up to where God dwells in heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will meet one day. And as we make this journey, looking back as we do tonight, but we can't help but look back and at the same time look forward, we say with respect to that journey, God is keeping us. And God is keeping us because He is the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. That's the theme of the sermon tonight. The God who never slumbers nor sleeps. Let's see in the first place who He is. And then in the second place, let's see what He does. The God who never slumbers nor sleeps. Who He is and what He does. The fact that God, as our text says, does not slumber nor sleep puts Him in direct contrast to, on the one hand, all idols, and to, on the other hand, all creatures. On the one hand, the fact that God does not sleep means that He stands in direct contrast to idols. I bring this up because of a very, very well-known historical passage in the Old Testament. And that's the historical passage of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal as they were challenging each other. Whose God is the true God? And the demonstration of whose God is the true God will be the fire sent from heaven upon the altars that they made. And there's Elijah standing off to the side while these prophets of Baal go about all of their shenanigans. They're dancing, they're cutting themselves, they're crying out in hysteria to Baal in heaven. And off to the side is Elijah, and he makes that comment to those prophets of Baal. Maybe right now he's sleeping. And that's why the fire is not coming down from heaven. And maybe you need to wake him up to do what you're asking him to do. And obviously Elijah wasn't saying that he was actually sleeping. It was a way of saying he's an idol, he's dead, he's nothing. The fact that God does not sleep puts Him in contrast to all idols who in the end are dead. It also puts God in contrast to us who are creatures. One of the great distinctions between what makes God God and what makes us creatures is the fact that God does not sleep and we do sleep. What you did in 2018 for between a quarter and a third of the year, what you did in 2018 for some 3,000 hours, God did not do for one millisecond. He never slept. This is what makes us not God, in part. Every night that you lie your head down on your pillow, in your bed, to go to sleep, staring you in the face is the reality, I am not God. And in fact, when we try to live as though we don't have to sleep, or that we don't need sleep, we are challenging that very fact, that I'm not God, and we're trying to be like the one who is God by not trying to sleep. This is part of what it means to be a creature. And the fact is, not only is that true for us, but that's true for every creature. Interestingly, I'm reading a book right now on sleep, partly in light of knowing that I was going to preach this text, and mostly in light of the fact that I find it very interesting. The Whys and the Hows of Sleep. And in that book, I read that the scientists today, with respect to every single creature that has been studied, it is demonstrated in their research that they have some form of sleep, some form of time in which they have to be rejuvenated through a sleep-like state. Different amounts, and it reflects itself in different ways among different creatures. But the reality is every single creature of this earth has this in common. It sleeps and it needs to sleep. And that, standing in contrast, to God who never for one second sleeps. The fact that our text says God does not sleep means that he's not an idol, because idols are dead and therefore can say they're sleeping, they're not real, and means he's not a creature. He's God. From this truth that God neither slumbers nor sleeps comes three positive truths concerning God. The text is phrased in the negative. This is what he doesn't do. And from what he doesn't do, get tired nor sleep, we can learn what he is in fact doing at all times. Number one, it teaches us that God is actively conscious at all times. That's what it means to sleep. While you are sleeping, you are not conscious of reality. You're not conscious of your surroundings. You're not able to reason about what is going on and speak in an intelligent way. There's a lot going on while we're sleeping. There's a ton of stuff going on in our brains and in our bodies. But the fact is, we're in a state of, so to speak, unconsciousness while we are sleeping. That God never sleeps means that he is always actively conscious. He's always thinking. He's always seeing at all times all things. This is a figure, sleeping or not sleeping, that points to the attribute of God's omniscience. And God's omniscience is the truth that God knows all things. And he knows all things because he's conscious at all times, and his eye sees all things all throughout the year as we look back upon 2018. That in the first place, the fact that God neither slumbers nor sleeps means that he is actively conscious at all times. In the second place, that God neither slumbers nor sleeps means that he is working, doing, and speaking. And here too, we take note of the contrast between the state of sleep and the state of being awake. When we are sleeping, we're not able actively to do things. We're not able actively to speak. When we're lying in our beds at night, we're not able to go about the work an activity of the day to which God calls us to do while we are awake. And so the fact that God never sleeps means not only that he's actively conscious at all times, that was the first point, but now we build upon that and say, not only is he actively conscious, but God, as the God who never sleeps, is always doing. He's always working. He's always speaking. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 17, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Beloved, as we look back at 2018, we say with respect to the year that was, God was always conscious. And we say God was always working, doing, speaking. He doesn't stand aloof to the creation that he made, stand aloof to the lives of his people. He's active and he's at work every single moment of our existence on this earth and in the existence of all things in the world that he created. He's actively conscious. He's working, doing, speaking. And in the third place, that God neither slumbers nor sleeps means that God is all-powerful. The first two points that I made focused especially on the second of the negatives. He never sleeps. This point arises out of the first negative, that he does not slumber. And the idea of slumbering is that of getting tired. And getting tired is, of course, the precursor to sleep. In our congregational prayer a few minutes ago, I offered petitions to God on our behalf in light of that reality. Here we sit tonight, 7:35, 7:40 in the evening, after a day's activity. And what naturally happens at this time of the night in a warm building as we sit down? We're tired. Every day we're tired. Towards the end of the day. And with tiredness, what is implied in that is weakness. Weakness of body, weakness of mind. At the beginning of the day and into the early afternoon, we were strong. We were sharp in our minds. We were able to do our work. We were able to do it well. As the day progresses into the late afternoon and then into the early and late evening, we become tired. If we become weak, we don't think as clearly and as sharply as we did early in the day, and the body begins to shut down. And eventually, what that necessitates is lying in bed at night to be rejuvenated by sleep. God does not have sleep, nor does God have the precursor of sleep, which is slumber. He's never tired. We are constantly ebbing and flowing, up and down in terms of our vitality and our strength, because we're creatures who are dependent. God does never have a moment of weakness and much less tiredness, which necessitates sleep. He is always, as we read and sang from Psalm 103, unchanging. Unchanging in His love, but unchanging in every single one of His attributes. Unchanging in His power. His power as God. That God never slumbers and sleeps means that God at all times is powerful. That's why we must never make the mistake, of course, when we read at the end of Genesis 1, after God created, that He rested. He did not rest in the sense that He was tired and needed to recuperate from the hard work of creating in 6 days. Of course not. That He rested meant that He enjoyed His finished work of creation. He never needs to rest in the way that we need to rest. The text reveals from these negatives those very fundamental truths concerning who God is. And the text also reveals very clearly that as that God, this is what He does. What God does is, according to Psalm 121, verse 4, keeping Israel. Our text comes from Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is the psalm on the preservation by God of His people. The entire psalm is filled with language of preservation and keeping. Notice that same word in the verse prior to ours and after ours. Verse 3, at the end, He keepeth thee, will not slumber. Our text, He keepeth Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. And then you go to the last two verses, 7 and 8, and you have a synonym in our English translation of the word keep, and that's preserve. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. This is the great psalm on the preserving and keeping work of God. The object of God's preserving work, as it's identified in our text, is Israel. And here we see an interesting shift back and forth in the psalm. And the shift back and forth in the psalm is that the beginning of the psalm speaks of the individual in the singular. The middle of the psalm, where our text speaks of the plural, Israel. And then it goes back at the end of the psalm to the singular, preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Notice that at the beginning of the psalm, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. Verse 2, my help. Verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. That's the beginning. And then our text, there's the shift. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And then, as I referred to in the comment a moment ago, the end goes back to the singular. Beloved, both of those truths are very important for us tonight. We need to know this looking back in 2018. The Lord kept you. You as an individual. You as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God kept you in the singular. And looking forward, God will keep you in the singular. But that's not all that we're concerned about. And God doesn't just keep scattered individuals all throughout the world. God brings those individuals together so that I say to you tonight, God kept you, you in the plural, you as a congregation in 2018, and he will keep you in the plural as a congregation in 2019. The Israel, made up of individuals, is the church. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter, writing to the New Testament church, describes her this way: ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. One of the many places you can turn to identify Israel with the church. Peter, looking back to the Old Testament, uses Old Testament language, nation, people, and applies it to the New Testament church. The point of Psalm 121, very simply, is the fact that God keeps Israel means that God keeps his church. He preserves his church in the salvation and life that he has given her in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as we go forth in the second point of the sermon, we don't just explain the idea of God keeping Israel independently from the first point of the sermon of who he is. So it's not just, okay, we begin the sermon with he keeps, or rather, he's the God who doesn't sleep and he's the God who doesn't get tired, and we explain that. And then we get to the second point of the sermon and just say, now he keeps Israel. The point of the text is that as the one who never slumbers and sleeps, he keeps Israel in her salvation. The fact of being this type of God who never slumbers and sleeps means, to put it differently, that he will necessarily be the one who always keeps Israel. And you can see that by reflecting upon the three points that I made about what it means that he never slumbers or sleeps. The first point we made was that it means that he's always actively conscious in his thoughts. And beloved, that's the first step of God preserving us and keeping us. In 2018, think about this. In 2018, God was always thinking of you. God was always thinking of you as an individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of his children. God was always thinking upon you as a congregation, a body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as is true for all of his people the world over. The nature of God's mind is not that it's so small like our minds where we can only think about one little thing at one particular time. God's mind is different because he's God. And the nature of God's mind, which is always actively conscious, is such that he's always thinking upon his people. And that's the first step of preservation and keeping. And again, I can't help but in a texts like this continuing to go back to the contrast. The contrast between God as God and us as creatures who have to slumber and sleep. Maybe it was your experience the first time you brought a child home, where this reality that consciousness goes hand in hand with keeping and preserving. Because maybe you had that thought that first night you brought your first child home. Now you're not in the hospital with all the hustle and bustle and the nurses all around, knowing that there's always someone awake. There's always someone there. And you come to that first night and you have to take that baby of yours. And you put that baby down in the crib or in the bassinet. And you're lying in bed. And for the first time, you realize, I have to go to sleep. And yes, it's true, if that baby wakes up, you'll wake up and you'll be able to care for the needs of that baby. But yet, there is that thought that is very real. While I am sleeping, in a certain sense, I'm helpless. Because I'm not conscious. I'm not thinking about the baby. I'm not thinking about the baby in terms of its surroundings. I'm not thinking about what may happen in this home with someone coming in here while I am sleeping. I can't, while sleep, think about the baby and the well-being of that baby. And so it takes trust. It takes trust that all will be well. It takes the trust that if anything happens, God is good and I can be at peace and be content with what happens. But the reality is, sleeping means that you can't think about the one that you try to take care of. And that's why I say the first step of God's preservation of us is the fact that He's always thinking upon us. And Jeremiah 29 says that God has thoughts towards us, and there are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And thoughts of peace that are to bring about an expected end, a good end for us. God, when He thinks upon us, as He is always thinking upon us, always thinks upon us with thoughts of peace. Because He sees us and He thinks upon us, as He did in 2018, not as we are in ourselves. But He sees us and He thinks upon us as we are in Jesus. He sees us and He thinks upon us as those who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So that Jeremiah 29 is true. They are thoughts of peace. They are always thoughts of good. They are always thoughts that have an end, which is a good end, our hope and our salvation and our home in heaven. God is always actively conscious of you. He was in 2018. He will be in 2019. And they are always thoughts of peace. The second thing that we said about God as the one who never slumbers nor sleeps is that He is always working, always doing, always speaking. And beloved, that speaks directly to this truth of Psalm 121, verse 4, that He keeps His church. God was at work in 2018. God was at work actively, globally, and nationally, and ecclesiastically, and personally. And here we think of a text like Ephesians 1 at the end, where you come to the end of the chapter and it says that the Lord Jesus Christ, having died on the cross and arose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and He is set down at the right hand of God, where He sits and He reigns and rules over all things unto the church. And that's God, through His right hand, Jesus Christ, at work, governing and controlling all things for the church. As we sit here on the last day of 2018, by faith we believe this. And we have to believe this. Everything that took place in 2018. Always enjoy at the end of the year the reflections back in the top tens. And you can read the greatest events of this past year. When you read that with believing eyes, you say with respect to it, globally, nationally, personally, Christ at God's right hand was reigning, ruling, governing, and controlling for the good of His church. And because Christ was at work in 2018, this is true. Israel, you and I are kept. And one of the points that we made earlier was that as the God who never slumbers nor sleeps, He's not only the God who does, but He's also the God who speaks. When you're sleeping, you don't speak. Well, God is a living, active God who speaks. And God's speaking speaks to the truth that God preserves His church. What is the reality of God in our lives? Sometimes people can think about that. Where's God? What's the reality of God? Obviously, look outside. See who He is and the powerful creation that He has made. We can be very, very concrete. And we can be very, very concrete by saying this: God is real because God speaks. And this goes back to the two sermons that we heard yesterday. The morning sermon, which says that Jesus Christ is the chief prophet of His church, and Jesus Christ, as that chief prophet, is speaking. And the evening sermon, in which we talked about the meditation upon God's Word, which isn't a dead word, but when a believer approaches the Scriptures with a believing heart, it is a living word. It is God speaking to us, as in the preaching, Christ is speaking to us. And beloved, that is Jesus keeping Israel. We need to take stock of this in this end of the year. That of all of the things that happened and all of the things that did not happen in our lives, with the greatest thanks to God, we can say tonight, looking back at 2018, God did not give to us as a congregation the famine of His Word. For 52 Sundays in 2018, a man called and ordained by God, overseen by elders in the public worship of His name, preached truth. And what was happening there? 52 Sundays of 2018, what was happening was God was at work. Jesus was at work. He was penetrating hearts. He was strengthening faith. He was giving comfort. He was leading people away from sin. He was working holiness. He was giving hope. All of that is to say, He was keeping Israel. And for all of the other days, we were able in this past year to go to God's Word. And through God's Word, Christ and His Spirit was at work to keep us, to preserve us in our life, in our salvation, in the journey that we are on, the journey upward to Zion in heaven, where we will one day be with Jesus Christ. God in 2018 kept us because He did not bring to us by His grace a famine of His Word. And beloved, of all of the things to reflect upon and to be thankful for, that is right there. And it must be right there at the top. And the third thing that we said, deriving from the idea that God never slumbers nor sleeps, is that He's powerful. He's powerful as God to do that which He so pleases to do. And beloved, that's what we need to reflect upon as we look back in the hope that we have for looking forward. Our God is not a weak God. Our God is a powerful God who never tires but for a moment in what He does on this earth and what He does in our lives. He's powerful to do the most amazing things. He was powerful to call out of nothing this creation into existence. But the greater power is that you who were dead spiritually, God, by His power in Jesus Christ on the basis of His shed blood, brings you to life. And He's powerful in this journey when there is a whole host of enemies that seek our hurt and destruction to keep us from being snatched out of our Father's hand. Psalm 129, when you read about the journey that they are making, it's fraught with dangers. It's fraught with enemies. And that was true in 2018. And the devil was at work in 2018. But he was 0-4, fill in the number of how many God's people were real and present and saved in 2018. And preserved in that salvation. He wasn't successful one time, beloved. One time for one of His children in this congregation in 2018. He can't be successful. And He never will be successful. Because God is the God of power. The God of power who saves in Jesus Christ and preserves in Jesus Christ. That's the God that we worship tonight. That's the God that we remember tonight. That's the God that we take our joy and comfort in as we look back. And of course, as we look back, right in that looking back is a looking forward. And so as you get tired tonight, and you don't have to necessarily be awake as you ring in the new year. Go to bed if you're tired. But as you go to bed tonight, because you're a man, you're a creature, remember this. God never goes to bed. He never sleeps. He never did in 2018. He never will in 2019. And because of that, He will continue to keep Israel. Beautiful truth. May God comfort us and fill us with hope in light of who He is and what He does. Amen. Father in heaven, this is a truth that does fill us with awe. It humbles us, certainly, because it knows we know who we are, creatures, dependents, sinners. Thou art the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. Continue to keep us as Thou hast done by Thy grace in 2018 and wilt continue to do as we bring in a new year in 2019. Hear our prayer, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.